How to be unified in spite of our differences, next on A Daily Walk.
It takes work for there to be unity in the body of Christ. I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. Every single person in this room, we are so different from one another. All of us. We don't look the same. We're all different. All have different giftings, different callings. And so when you get this many people together and you want to be unified, that takes work, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. And that goes beyond these walls. It goes outside of here as well. Unified with other parts of the body, our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Do you consider yourself to be an integral part of the body of Christ? God does. But often we start comparing ourselves to others, wishing we had the same gifts as our neighbor down the street. This is A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. In our study today, the Apostle Paul explains the significance of the body of Christ working together as one. As an analogy, he points to the human body, which has many parts, but is to effectively function as one unit. Wouldn't it be great if that were an accurate description of the church today?
Paul then deals with another issue that was coming up in the areas of giftedness, and that was esteeming one gift above another. So you have this danger of the feeling of insignificance, which happens in the body of Christ all the time. Then you have this other danger of I'm independent of everybody else. That can also happen in the church. And then you have this esteeming one gift above another gift. Look at verse 22. Much rather, those members of the body which seem, now notice this, they seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. That's interesting. As important as some of the members of the physical body are, you know, it's possible to live without some of the members of your physical body. If you lose an eye, for example, you can get a glass one. It'd be difficult to, you wouldn't be able to see out of it, but you can still function and drive and do so many of the things. I mean, there's so many things that you could live without if were necessary. Which is really a surprise to me. There's certain things they can take out and you don't need that anymore. See, from time to time people come, oh, Pastor John, pray for me. I'm getting this removed. Don't you need that? Isn't that supposed to stay in there? Nope. Doctor said it's fine. Just take it out. Okay. You know, I want the Lord to take me all at once, not in parts. If we just go all at once, I don't want, oh, John, I'm going to take your spleen and then I'm going to take your gallbladder. And Lord, can we just all at once? But nonetheless, you can live without many things. But there's certain things that you cannot live without. You can't live without a heart. You can't live without a brain. These are things that are vital. Now, you don't see these things. There's certain things in your body that you cannot see physically taking place. And yet, without them, you couldn't survive. And so what Paul is saying is, yeah, there are certain gifts, there are certain members in the body that may be more visible, but there are other aspects of the ministry that are not seen, that if they were to stop, they're what we would call the vitals. If they were to stop, the rest of the ministry that was normally seen would not go on any longer. That's what he's implying here. And what are some of those vitals as it relates to ministry within the church? There are some of the vital ministries that often go unseen, they go unnoticed. How about the ministry of prayer that goes on at this church every single week? There are people that gather together to pray and intercede on behalf of this body on a weekly basis, more than once. You don't see it, but it's happening, unless you're there and you see it and you're a part of it. But it goes on every single week. There are people that intercede. If that stopped, ministry stops. I don't want to be a part of a ministry that doesn't pray. I mean, if we don't pray, then what are we doing? We have to pray. That's the fuel, as it were, that drives the engine. We got to have prayer. Everything we do, we want to pray about, want to bring to the Lord. That's a vital aspect of the ministry. How about the cleaning that takes place in the church? It happens every week. People don't know about it. You don't necessarily see it, but it goes on. People in this fellowship, for example, that have no official title, but they're the most productive, the most reliable people in the ministry. It's what helps keeps it going. Children need to be taught. Meals at times need to be made. Set up, tear down, etc. All of these things. If that stopped in the body, so much of what goes on here that is seen would also cease to exist. So it's the things that you don't see, what Paul's saying, are just as vital as the things that are visible and that you see. It's part of the body. Paul continues on with this analogy. And he again talks now in verse 23, those members of the body which we think, remember, this is our mindset, we think are less honorable. Actually, we bestow the greater honor. Our presentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. Those parts of the body that we would think, you know, we don't give as much attention to actually get more attention. We spend a whole lot of time trying either to cover up certain parts of the body, wear a shirt with stripes down, or I haven't figured it out yet, because we're just concerned about certain parts of the body that we don't think are important, but we give more attention to it. Do you understand? The things that we don't want people to see, they're still, these are important parts of the body. We give more attention to it. So Paul's just stressing the importance of things that we would overlook and saying, actually, these are really important to what goes on. They play a vital role. You know, I really believe when we get to heaven, we're going to be amazed at many things. But one of the things I think is going to be an amazement to us is all the different things, rewards that the Lord gives out at the Bema Seat. Those who were in front oftentimes received their rewards here in different ways. But those digging ditches, scrubbing floors, vacuuming, changing diapers, taking out the trash, great is your reward in heaven. I just want to be there and be a part of it. Paul says, there's no insignificant part of the body of Christ. Every single person here is vital to the work of the ministry. We're a family. Secondly, we're not independent of one another. The body, we don't come together to be independent of one another, but to be connected to one another. And there's not one gift that's greater than the other. The pastor's gifting isn't greater than the children's ministry gifting. Or you can fill in the blanks. It's all because of the grace of God. It's all for his glory. We should never be above something. We should never be, well, that's beneath me. I don't do that. No, we're servants. That's all that we are. Jesus gave us that model when he came and he served. And that is the model that we want to follow in the body of Christ. But there's some other things that I've observed as it relates to ministry within the church over the last 22 years that I've seen take place. I want to point these out to you. I think they're from the Lord. First of all, I have observed what I would call spiritual apathy. Then there's something else I've observed, and that is, the word is atrophy. They sound similar, but they're different. Atrophy in the body. Atrophy is the gradual decline of effectiveness or vigor due to underuse or neglect. Atrophy. If a person stops using their arm, just decides one day, I'm not going to use this anymore, and you stay in that state, eventually you develop atrophy because of misuse, because of neglect. It's not working properly, and there's no strength within that arm any longer. It's become spiritually, physically atrophied, but then also spiritually, I've seen this happen. People in the body of Christ who were at one time, let me share with you, serving the Lord, just whatever needed to be done, just jumping in. In the past, they were part of prayer. They were part of a men's study or a small group or a women's prayer meeting or a women's study. They were exercising themselves, as the Bible says, toward godliness. But over time, they just stopped. Maybe they stopped coming to church. They stopped serving in the church. They stopped giving out. Instead, they were just constantly taking in. They just became spiritually atrophied in their spiritual body. And everybody has their reasons. And they vary. For some, they felt that they should be doing more or given a title, and they weren't. So they just said, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to sit. And they just became spiritually atrophied. Others said they tried things in the past, but it really wasn't fun. So I just don't want to do it anymore. It's just not fun. I just didn't have any fun doing it, you know? And you just say, okay. As if we come to this and it's just all about how we feel. We show up here and it's about how I feel and what I think, and this is meet my needs. And granted, we want to meet the needs of one another, but we don't just show up here to have our needs met and always, I mean, there's more to it than that. This is a body. And so we're functioning as such. Some have changed their priorities. They, instead of coming to church, and not because they can't make it or because they, can't drive at night, but they just stop coming to fellowship. I just watch online. That's great. I mean, I am so thankful. We want to harness every aspect of technology here to get the word of God out. You'd be surprised. I mean, it's pretty exciting that when we get a report after every single service, there's an email that's sent that tells us everywhere where this service has gone to. And it goes around the world. It's crazy. People watching on different continents all at the same time. It's fascinating. over, 200, sometimes 250 people all watching in different parts of the country and around the world right now with us in this moment, which is amazing. If you see a report that's coming from China, there's people watching Calvary San Juan in China. That's amazing. And yet you see like 50 of these people that live in San Juan watching online. It shows. Like, do we need to move the church closer to your house? I mean, like, where else do we need to go? San Clemente, just lists of people. I know it's like 5 minutes down the freeway. You just wonder what happened. People just get atrophied. It's great to watch online, but it's much different to be a part of the body, to be in here interacting with God's people. I'd be like taking your arm and leaving it at home and have your arm at home. I mean, you're still functioning, but you are missing something. We're missing you when you're not here. You understand? This isn't condemnation. This is just stirring you up to love and good works to get your priorities in alignment as it relates to the Lord. Well, I my priorities are different. I got taekwondo on Wednesday nights, and I really am getting, I can break 2 boards now. Awesome. But I mean, what are you going to show that off in heaven? I'm not saying taekwondo's bad. I prefer jujitsu, but I'm just saying you understand people just get their priorities out of alignment, and it's just fellowship and being a part of the body just takes back seat. It shouldn't be that way, guys. In fact, I don't want to just exhort you with my own words. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir one another up to love and good works, and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So much more as we see the day approaching. Guys, do you understand? I know you do. You know the day's approaching. It's approaching. And so we are to stir one another up. It's a strong word that literally means to sharpen, and figuratively speaking, of sharpening one's mind or incitement to some action. Listen, if you are a person today who is giving way to spiritual atrophy, then consider yourself stirred up to love and good works. Allow the Lord to just search your heart. So there's spiritual atrophy that can happen in the body of Christ. But there's something else that I've observed, and that is this. Spiritual injury. Injury. People who have been wounded, even in the church. And as a result, they remain injured, and they never recover. They never go on from there. When the person is injured physically, they usually go through physical therapy. I was talking to a brother after the service, many of you know, who is in the process of physical therapies. In a wheelchair, came through a major car accident. And he was talking about the physical therapy that he's been going through. And at times, it can be extremely painful. I mean, these physical therapists, like, why are you stretching my arm? That hurts really bad. You start stretching your arm. Like, stop it. You're breaking my arm. You're like, no, I got to stretch it. Can you feel that? Can you feel it? Yeah, I can feel it. Can you feel this? You just want to use your one good arm. But the reason why they're doing that is because if they don't do it, you'll never recover range of motion. You say, you know what? That's as far as I'm going to stretch. I'm fine with this. This is it. I'm good. I could still get things as opposed to this. But there's this painful sometimes when you're stretched after you've had an injury. And spiritually, it can be painful. Somebody hurts you in the body of Christ. Somebody does something that stung. and you can get, you just think, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to reach out anymore. I don't want to do that because every time I do it. And so what does the Lord do? He comes in, John, I'm going to stretch you. I'm going to teach you something. Lord, I don't want to do that. Maybe he's saying that to you. I don't want to talk to that person. Too bad. This is how you're going to get better. I'm going to stretch your faith. I'm going to teach you what it is. Lest you stay in an injured state. Well, I like wearing this. It just goes with every outfit. I don't want to take this off. It's just so comfortable. No. You were made to use this. And so the Lord, as a great physician, seeks to heal wounds, seeks to strengthen where we have been made weak so that we can not be limited. But there's one other thing I've observed in the church body. And I think it's worse than atrophy. It's worse, definitely worse than injury, and that's this, sickness, disease. One of the sicknesses that can affect the body, the spiritual body, is sin. It's deadly. It can start out extremely small, but then it grows, and it can permeate the entire body. It can start in the mind, makes its way into your heart, makes its way into your actions. I mean, it affects your entire life. Sin, the Bible says, produces something, death. And people who live in sin, who allow sin to dwell within them. Again, I'm not talking about, hey, I messed up. Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. We all do that. Every single one of us. What I'm describing here for you today is someone who's willing to live with the sickness of sin and unrepentant, willing to let it live. But they don't realize all the while it's affecting them spiritually. They are dying spiritually. It produces death. But here's the great news. Jesus, he's the good physician. He can come in. He can operate on your heart. Is it going to be painful? Yep. Am I going to heal? Yep. If you allow me to do all that, I can take all of it out right now. I can do it if you let me. And so we see these things happen in the body. But the Lord wants to deal with these things. Paul goes on now to speak about the love and the care that we're to have for one another in the body of Christ. When he says in verse 24, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. There should be no schism in the body. That is the word division in the body. But that members should have, look at this, the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members are to rejoice with it. Paul says the Lord's the one that composed this body. The Lord's the one that created the church. The church was made by the Lord. He put it together. He built it. It was his idea. And within this body that God put together, it was his desire when he put it together that it wouldn't be divided. He didn't put it together so that it could break apart. He put it together so that it would stay together. No schism was ever to be made in this body. Perhaps that's why Jesus prayed so earnestly in John 17 that the disciples would be one, because he knew their tendency. And then Paul said, if one of the members of the body is suffering, then we all feel it, don't we? If you've ever been injured in any part of your body, sometimes you can feel it throughout your whole body. I mean, it affects your entire body. It goes from, you know, you hit your foot on something and it just goes from your foot all the way through your body. You feel it everywhere. And such is the case in the body of believers. When one part of our body is suffering, when somebody's experiencing loss or somebody's grieving or somebody's hurting, we ought to be sensitive to that part of the body and seek to minister to that need, to care for one another. When one part of the body's hurting, it should affect us. We should be concerned about one another. And we will be if we're not independent. We realize there's a significance of every part of the body. We're going to be sensitive to that. But also, he says, if one of the members is doing well, then hey, let's rejoice with them. Let's get excited with them. They're doing well. God's blessing. Sometimes in the body of Christ, it's easier to suffer with people than to rejoice with people. You ever notice that? Oh, you're doing bad. Oh, your mind is thinking, well, they're doing worse than me. I can comfort them. But they're doing really well. They're doing better than me. Oh, it shouldn't be that way in this body. We should be rejoicing with one another and also suffering with one another. That's how the body's supposed to function. It's concerned. And when one part of the body is suffering, the rest of the body is seeking to help to make sure that this is healed and made whole. Now, Paul says in verse 27, now you, listen to this, he's talking to the church, and he's also be talking to us. Now you are the body of Christ, but you're also, it says here, members individually. So we're individual members, but we're all part of the body of Christ. And then Paul mentions that God has actually not only given gifts to the church, but he's also given gifted individuals to minister to the church. Verse 28, and God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings and helps and administration, variety of tongues. Paul says there are gifted people that God has placed within the body of Christ. Apostles, those that are sent out, prophets, proclaiming the word of God, teachers, instructing the body of Christ, miracles, gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Again, he's just highlighting the fact that all of the gifted individuals in the body, it's so diverse. There's diversity. Not everybody has the same gift, as we'll see in a moment, but God has distributed through the Holy Spirit different giftings to different people. And then he asks the rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Does everybody have that same gift? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? Do all have the gift of teaching? No. They're all workers of miracles? No. Do all have the gift of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? The answer is no. Do all interpret? No. In other words, just like the body is diverse and different with different parts, it's not all the same thing, such is the case in the body of Christ. Not every person has the same gift. And that's good. Because if we all had the same gift, we would be very limited in what we were capable of doing. But because there is such diversity within the body of Christ and different giftings that have been distributed, there's so much more that can be accomplished. We all have different gifts. We ought to rejoice in the gifts of others. We ought to be grateful for what God's doing in the life of a brother or a sister around us. We don't all have the same gifts. And then Paul adds in verse 31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And he's going to talk about that next time. The more excellent way is the way of love, which is the greatest gift of all. Different giftings in the body of Christ. Do you know what your gifting is? Do you know what your place is in the body of Christ? Do you realize that you're part of a family? You're not insignificant. You're not independent. We're one with one another. And really, folks, it takes work for there to be unity in the body of Christ. I mean, I want you to think about this for a second. Every single person in this room, we are so different from one another. All of us. We don't look the same. We're all different. All have different giftings, different callings. And so when you get this many people together and you want to be unified, that takes work, but it's worth it. It's so worth it. And that goes beyond these walls. It goes outside of here as well. Unified with other parts of the body, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not everybody has the same gift, but listen, everybody should function as part of the body. Everybody should help in some way, whether it's in here or out there.
You're listening to A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall, and he'll be right back, so don't rush away. Hear the study from the book of 1 Corinthians anytime you'd like at adailywalk.org. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way, that's available for a cost of $5. Call 877-242-0828 and sign up for our free podcast so you can start receiving biblical encouragement on a regular basis. It's available on Apple Podcasts. We also have an app making it easy to listen to A Daily Walk on your handheld devices. Search for CCSJC. We're also on Roku, Amazon, and Apple TV. Gather the family around the TV and watch Pastor John's latest sermons. Many are wondering, does the coronavirus pandemic fit into Bible prophecy? How close are we to the rapture of the church and second coming of Christ? Questions like these are being asked right now, and so we'd like to make Pastor John's study of Revelation available to you. We've loaded it up onto a reusable USB flash drive for you. Plug it into your USB port in your car or computer and listen when it's most convenient. And you might even get an extra one or two to share with your loved ones. It's available now for a cost of only $20. Remember, there's a promised blessing to those who read and hear the book of Revelation. So be blessed and pass that blessing along to others. You can order by phone at 877-242-0828. Again, that's 877-242-0828. Or go to adailywalk.org. It's always encouraging to hear from our listeners. Even just a brief email letting us know you're listening and where puts a smile on our face. If you find these daily studies helpful to your daily walk, Pastor John would like to know. Share a praise report or prayer request while you're at it. You can email that to us at adailywalk@gmail.com. We'll leave you with this encouraging word from Pastor John.
I read something I found encouraging. It says, God has not called me, so I cannot go. I cannot preach. My lips are slow. I cannot teach. My knowledge is too small. I cannot heal. I have no power at all. But I can help. Yes, I can help full well. I know the way. I surely can, for I can always pray. I can give, and this to him I know is service precious in this world below. And with his help, some other one may go and preach the word as I could never do. And when one day we've left this world behind, up there in glory, I shall some souls find because I helped. We can all help, guys. May God enable us. May God empower us in a fresh way in this body of Christ, this local body, in this assembly of people, to function as a body, to be unified, to love one another, to encourage one another, to edify one another. And guys, the only way that we're going to be able to do that is if we stay connected to Jesus individually and congregationally. If we do that, there is no division. As long as we stay connected to the Lord, that's so vitally important. And I realize that whatever God's called me to do, He's not going to hold me accountable for what He called somebody else to do. He's going to hold me accountable for what He gave me to do. Every single person has been entrusted with something, and you are a steward of something God has given you. And one day you will give an account of your stewardship. And so may God help us to be faithful with what we've been given, to use it all for His glory, to function as a unified body of believers in Jesus' name. Amen.
Tomorrow on A Daily Walk, we'll open the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. We hope you can join us as we talk about what love is with Pastor John Randall.